Father, how truly grateful and thankful we are, again, for the greatness of that word. How thankful I am, Father, that we love to tell that same old story over and over to bless your people. And may tonight be a wonderful night again for all of your people here and our people around the nations of the world, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I thought I'd like to share my heart with you on three prepositions. Perhaps these three prepositions are the most important prepositions to the believer's salvation. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go to Exodus chapter 14. Salvation, what a wonderful, magnificent, and great work of God. Salvation is not a subject just to be preached or taught. It is a blessed experience to be enjoyed. All of us have heard phrases like, "Get saved, brother. Save your soul. Get right with God. Prepare to meet God." All of these phrases represent and display great ignorance of the subject of salvation. Salvation is of God, people, totally out of the means and hands of men. Man is dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually and without God and without hope. So what works could a dead man do to save himself or to keep himself saved? In Exodus chapter 14 is the first usage of some of the great truths that I want to set before you on this wonderful night. Verse 13 of chapter 14 of Exodus. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." See those words? It's going to be the salvation of whom? The Lord. All the people have to do is stand still, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." See, the children of Israel were in bondage. They were in captivity. And God said unto them, "Fear ye not, just stand still and see the salvation, the deliverance that will come from the Lord. All a man's running, all a man's planning will never bring forth the salvation that comes from the Lord." And finally the Lord said to Moses, "Speak unto the children that they go forward upon the greatness of that knowledge and truth that salvation is of the Lord. It's the Lord that will take him out of bondage and out of captivity." The Lord said to Moses, verse 15, "Wherefore criest thou to me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Then in verse 16, God said to him, "Lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." God still expected Moses to act. Even though salvation was of the Lord, Moses was responsible to do something. He was to lift up his rod, he was to stretch out his hand over the sea, and Moses was to divide it. And then the children of Israel could go over on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Deliverance for God's people was divinely willed divinely prepared and divinely executed. God carried it out. Salvation is God's salvation. It is God who procured and secured it for His people. The will of the Father is the source of salvation for us. It is the work of the Son in the method used of God to make it available to us. And it is the gift of the Holy Spirit in us, which is the witness of its reality. So those are the three prepositions: for us, to us, and in us. If you don't mind, I'll take my coat off because it's awful hot up here. Is it hot down there? Good. I see some of you fanning away. Well, this winter, I don't know what we're going to do with you. Summer, it's too hot. Winter, it's too cold, I guess. Salvation is wrought in us by God, Holy Spirit. According to Ephesians 2:10, we were created in Christ Jesus. So our salvation is at once lifted up out of the hands of men. It was accomplished for us by God's will, God's work, and God's word. In John 6:38, it declares that Jesus Christ came not to do His own will, but the will of the Father. According to Ephesians 2:8, this salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation, people, comes to us through the offering of the body of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 9, look at this record. Hebrews 9, verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Those words, end of the world, are truly significant in my mind, because in the original text it read, where the two ages meet, the age of the Old Testament and the one in which you and I live today, where the two ages meet, but now once, where the two ages meet, hath he suffered. And in verse 30, so Christ, 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So the word salvation means deliverance. Christ once offered himself to bear the sins of many, and unto those that look for him, he's coming back a second time without sin unto deliverance. In chapter 10, look at verse 4. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. For wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. See, it was, salvation is of God. It was God's will. It is Jesus Christ who accomplished it for us in himself and in his body. Look at verse 10. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of whom? Jesus Christ, once for all. Salvation comes to us through the body of Jesus Christ. There's a record in 1 Peter 3:18 that says, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto whom? God. That he might bring us unto God. Bring us to God. Not to a church. Not to bring us unto a denomination or a priest. Not to bring us to sacraments. Not to bring us to ordinances, laws, rules. But to bring us to God himself. For it is written, the Lord has spoken. So salvation is no dry creed or doctrine. Salvation is not an empty dogma. It is no tradition, no theory, no lifeless creed, but a blessed and glorious experiential reality. Romans 5:2 declares, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. People's salvation is so little appreciated, so little understood, because it is written, is changed by man's interpretation and tradition. Something he thinks he can do to get saved and stay saved and improve on God's work. In 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 2. Grace and peace be what? Multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is why I'm sharing this tonight on the three greatest prepositions of the believer's salvation. That you get a greater knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, that it be multiplied to you. According as his divine power, God's divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby his own, which are given unto us, the exceeding great and precious promises, in order that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption, and the word is corruption getting worse and worse, having escaped that which makes people get worse and worse. His own, God's own, gave us exceeding great and precious promises, in order that by these great and precious promises of what God has wrought, we are partakers of his divine nature. His divine nature is God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. And thereby we escape the corruption. We escape getting worse and worse all the time. That is through the world, that is in the world through lust, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your believing virtue, and to your virtue knowledge in renewed mind, and to knowledge temperance, verse 6, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Verse 8, for if these things be in your knowledge and practice, remember and abound. Knowledge and then abound in your life. They make you that ye shall neither be barren. And the word is barren is useless, because you're not knowledgeable or practicing the principles of the greatness of God's salvation, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. But he that lacketh these things in understanding and practice is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall on your nose, never stumble. That's why kids' salvation is of God, and it's not a lifeless creed, but it's a blessed and glorious experiential reality. That's why I can understand the truth of the statement of the Lord Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end in John 13:1. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. End of what? What did Jesus Christ love to the end of? He loved to the end of time, core. End of all sins, end of all weaknesses, end of all frailties, all doubts, all fear, all worry, all sorrow, and all suffering. Man may and will change. Man may and will stray and wander. Yet God and his Son abideth faithful. God changeth not. So it is written. We have Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Listen to this. Watch it. But now is Christ Jesus, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who once were afar off were made next of kin, brother, by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, both Jew and Gentile, one, and hath broken down, having destroyed the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace. Verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and having come and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that are nigh. For through him, through Jesus Christ, we both have access, Jew and Gentile, by one Spirit, in unto the Father. Verse 19. Now therefore, right now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and you are of the household of whom? Right, in chapter 1 of Ephesians. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. That's God's work of salvation. It's not man's. And it is written, according as he has chosen us, in him, God chose us in him before the foundation of the world for one purpose, that we should be holy and we should be without blame before him in love. So I thought on this opening night of sharing with you those three great prepositions of what God did for us through Jesus Christ to us, and what God did in us by way of His Holy Spirit, would bless your heart and life. Father, I thank You for the ineffable greatness of Your Word. Thank You for Your salvation, that it's of You and not of man. Thank You that Your Word is Your will. Thank You for all of Your love and grace and Your goodness unto each and every one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless. Thank you.